Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. You are listening to Ball is Life at radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, Jay Smooth. Have a very interesting show for you today. Today we will be talking about LeBron's 61-point game against the Charlotte Bobcats earlier this week. I will update you about the college basketball season and how that's going around. March Madness is coming around, so I will be talking about that. And I also will be giving you my analysis on the NBA award races. So it should be very, very, very interesting today. But first, let's get to our first segment. LeBron's 61-point game against the Charlotte Bobcats. It was his best game of his career. It was the most points he scored in a game in his whole career. He had 61 points. He broke all the records for the Heat, a lot of records for the Heat. Most points in the game, most field goals in the game with 22, most points in any quarter in Heat history with 25 in the third quarter, and then most points in the second half with 37. So he broke all those Heat records, the Heat franchise records. But he did. He had a good game. He also had 7 rebounds, 5 assists. 8 from 10 from the three-point line, 9 from 12 from the free throws. So he was on fire. On fire. He was 8 for 8 at the three-point line, and then he missed the last two in the game. He had 24 points at halftime, then added 25 in the third quarter, and then the record breaker, because Glenn Rice, back in 1995 with the Miami Heat, he had 56 points, and that was the most points scored by a Heat player in a single game. And the record breaker came with 5:46 left when James spun through 3 defenders for a layup that fell as he tumbled to the court. So he just had a good game, and he just added to his resume for being the best player in the game right now, and also for the MVP race. So he had a really, really good game. And people were wondering when he was going to get his 60-point game, because he didn't have a 60-point game through his career. And, you know, Kobe's had one. LeBron, Carmelo has had one, but LeBron didn't. So everyone was just wondering when it was going to come, because he's such a great player. You know, Michael Jordan, of course, had many 60-point games throughout his career. So everyone was just wondering when it was going to come, and it finally came earlier this week. One funny thing I read was that Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Miami Heat, he almost took LeBron James after the third quarter, and LeBron had 49 points heading into the fourth quarter, and that would have been something. If Eric Spoelstra would have took out LeBron, I wouldn't be here talking about how he had 61 points. But LeBron, he finally got a 60-point game, which I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but everyone, you know, held it against him that he didn't have a 60-point game, but he finally got one against the Charlotte Bobcats. But the Bobcats, you know, they put up a good fight. If they would have held LeBron to maybe 40 points or 30 points, they probably would have won the game, because the final score was 124-107. So basically, LeBron had half of the Miami Heat's points. Had half of them. So, you don't know. Maybe if the Bobcats would have held them like to 10 points or 24 or 20 points less, they probably would have... It would have been competitive. I'm not going to say they were going to win, but they had a better chance of winning, because the Bobcats played good. Their best player, Al Jefferson, he had 38 points and 19 rebounds. So that's crazy, because everyone was talking about, you know, how LeBron scored 61 points, which everyone should be, because that's it's a great accomplishment. But 38 points and 19 rebounds on any other night, and if that's a good game. That's a great game. So, because Al Jefferson was playing the Miami Heat and LeBron James, and LeBron scored 61 points, he was really rarely talked about after the game. But he had a huge night, 38 points, 19 rebounds. But it was all about LeBron. He hit a three from about 30 feet. His last three-pointer he made, I saw it. They set a screen for him. He went left and just pulled up. Even just the crowd went wild when he made it. But LeBron finally got his 61-point game. And on a night where Dwayne Wade did not play, so he scored more. He took the role of scoring more, because usually when Dwayne Wade plays and the Heat are fully healthy, you know, he's that type of player that he does everything. He can grab rebounds. He can dish out assists. So he gets assists. He gets his teammates involved. So, and he can also score, of course. He's the best player in the game right now, according to many. And he's proved it because he can do, like I said, he can do everything. And he proves it on a nightly basis. And it's crazy to, like, a guy his size, he's about 6'8", 260. And he can just move so quickly. No one's seen anyone like this, maybe since Magic. When Magic Johnson first came out, he was a 6'10", 6'11 point guard. Back then, no one ever saw that. Usually, if you're 6'10", 6'11", you're down on the post. You're a center, like Kareem. But you're a center, and you don't have ball skills like a guard. So it's crazy because he's so similar to Magic Johnson. So when people try to compare him, LeBron, to Michael Jordan, it's kind of a hard comparison because they're very, very different players in many ways. Like, LeBron's more similar to Magic Johnson than he is to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, if you want to compare a player to Michael Jordan in this day of age, you got to look at Kobe Bryant, because Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan they're basically like the same player. They have the same intensity, the same competitive. They're both competitive. Like, they don't like to lose. They're the guy. They want to. It's their team, so they want to do what they want to do. Basically, they were both coached by Phil Jackson. But back to LeBron, he had a great night, 61 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And he took over. He took over the team. And then when he checked out, the whole Heat, his whole team, met him near midcourt, gave him high fives and hugs. The sellout crowd in Miami gave him a standing ovation. MVP chants rained down from the rafters, from the crowd. So he did add to his resume, because people were saying, oh, you know, Kevin Durant's been having a heck of a year. Kevin Durant's probably going to wants to win and is giving a strong case for that MVP title. But LeBron, with his 61-point game, did, you know, he got back in the race. It's a close race, but, you know, I'm not going to say he overcame Kevin Durant as the MVP leader right now, but LeBron did get closer with the 61-point game. But he also might have fouled. He also might have fouled back, because the next game on Tuesday, they played the Houston Rockets, and LeBron had not as a good game. They brought him back down to earth. He still did have 22 points, 6 assists. He did shoot 50% from the field, but it wasn't as good as the game on Monday against Charlotte. So, but back to the 61-point game, he did good, and he's making a, like I said, he's making a strong case for the MVP, because his last 10 games, he's averaging 32.8 points per game, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. So he's getting hot at the right time because, you know, playoffs are coming around, and the Heat are the favorite, are a favorite to win the NBA championship. So, you know, you got to get hot at the right time. You got to start winning games. You can't get cold, because once you get cold, then your mojo's all messed up. And once you enter the playoffs, you don't want to get enter cold, because you can't underestimate a team like a team that, you know, is happy to be the playoffs and wants to prove to the nation and to you and to the league that we're not just a team that you're going to just roll over and you're going to just beat, and we're not going to roll over for you. So the Heat, they can't slack. They got to, you know, got to keep on playing as the champion. They got to play as the champions. They can't just ease through the games and just coast through games, like they say. So that's LeBron's making an example for his team. Like, you know, we need to step up now. Playoffs are coming around, so we need to keep on playing as good. And another thing that came out, Dominique Wilkins, he's a former player for the Atlanta Hawks. He came out and he said he wasn't very impressed with LeBron's 61-point game because, again, he was playing the Charlotte Bobcats and their defense wasn't really... he said, like, the Bobcats were in awe, and, like, they were not playing as players, but they were like fans, because they were just in amaze of what LeBron was doing, and they weren't really getting on him and playing defense. And that makes sense, because the Bobcats has allowed the two biggest single game scoring totals in the NBA this year. Like, earlier in the year, Carmelo Anthony, the New York Knicks, had 62 points against the Bobcats. So Dominique Wilkins has a point. Maybe, you know, everyone shouldn't give LeBron this praise for this 61-point game, because the Bobcats have already allowed a 60-point game this year against Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks. So he has a point. So I think LeBron, to me, I don't think LeBron, he didn't like get a big head, like, after, like, oh yeah, I scored 61 points, I'm the guy, I'm the man. I think he's humbled enough, and it was one game, I had a good game, but you got to move on. So the media, they make a big deal out of the 61-point game because it is a great accomplishment. But they make a big deal out of it, and I don't think LeBron made a big deal of it. He just probably thought, you know, it's one game, let's get past it. It's just one game in the regular season. Now, if it was maybe like in the NBA Finals where he clinched or he won the championship and that was the clinching game, maybe I can understand. He probably would say, you know, that's an amazing, I would always remember it. But a 61-point game against the Bobcats on the Monday night in the regular season in March is really not a big deal. So, and I don't think he didn't get a big head after it, like I said. And so I'm pretty sure, you know, it was a one game, and he just wanted to move on to the next one. But, you know, 61 points, LeBron James, that's a big news story, and that's why, you know, that's all I'm talking about it, so, you know, everyone else is going to talk about it. But, yeah, the Heat, LeBron's just making an example and showing that, you know, the Heat got to get serious because the playoffs are coming around. And they want to, you know, the Indiana Pacers are number one seed right now. And, you know, it's probably going to be the Indiana Pacers, Miami Heat at the end for whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference, because I don't want to bash every other team in the East, but those are the two teams, the Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat. You're going to have to get through one of those teams to get to the NBA Finals, and I don't see any other team in the East right now coming close to Indiana and the Heat. So, you know, LeBron, he's being the leader that he is, taking his team on his, putting the team on his back and saying, it's time to get serious. Because in a couple weeks, playoffs are about to start. And they only play for one thing, and that's the NBA championship. So it's going to be interesting to see, but LeBron did have a huge night Monday night against the Charlotte Bobcats. He shot 22 of 33 from the field. So he shot 66% from the field. 8 from 10 from the three-point line. 9 from 12 from the free throw line. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 61 points. So it'd be interesting to see what happens going on into the playoffs, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. See if he wins the MVP race. So we'll see. We will see. So this is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Ball is Life with Jay Smoove, and we will be back after this break.
You got that little tattoo playing peekaboo on your back. Yeah, if you wanna impress me, baby, here's my plan. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand. Yeah, fill it up, I'll throw it down. When you drive me home, take the long way around. You be my Lois Lane, I'll be your Superman. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand. Clock sings, it goes bang, 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 while it rang, rang, rings. Yeah, I'm ready to roll if you wanna rock again. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand. Yeah, feel it.
Say goodbye, but we carry on while everyone's gone.
Never felt like this before. Are we friends or are we more? As I'm walking towards the door, I'm not sure.
But baby, if you say I'm walking away, if you
Welcome back to Ball is Live. I'm Jay Smoove, and you're listening Ball is Live at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for listening again. So, second segment today that we are going to be talking about is, you know, the college basketball season. March is here. You know, March Madness is going to come around. The conference tournaments are about to start in a couple weeks. So, it's, you know, it's getting very, very interesting. Like, last night, number four Duke, the number four ranked Duke, lost to Wake Forest by 10. So, you know, that's a big thing that happened last night, because, you know, Duke was fighting for that one of the four seeds in the NCAA tournament. So that's going to hurt their chances a lot. Also, number nationally ranked Arizona, who is number three, they beat Oregon State last night. So, you know, Arizona's fighting for one of those number one seeds spots. Also, Kansas beat Texas Tech 82-57. So it's been very interesting. And also, one of the teams, like, early in the year that I thought was going to be in the hunt for the national championship that's been declining lately is Syracuse. Like, I remember Syracuse. I was talking about them earlier in the year, and they, you know, about Tyler Ennis, their point guard, who's a very, very one of the best freshman players in the nation. He was having a great year, but all of a sudden they've been losing games. They've lost like four of the last five games, and it's been really bad. And it's been really, really bad, because it's not like they're just losing like close games. They've been getting blown out. Even at home, at Syracuse, they've been getting blown out. So, I don't know. It's crazy. It always gets crazy around March. There's always teams that no one expects that comes out of nowhere and surprises everybody. For, like, example, last year in the tournament, it was the 15 seed Florida Gulf Coast. No one's ever heard of Florida Gulf Coast before. Everyone was like, where's Florida Gulf Coast? When they think of colleges in Florida, they think of, you know, the University of Miami, Florida, Florida State. So when people were thinking Florida Gulf Coast, everyone's like, is that a community college? Who are they? And they made it all the way to the Elite Eight and could have made it to the Final Four. So it's very crazy. There's a lot of teams in the nation, and, you know, they take 60, 65, 69 teams in the tournament. So people know, you know, they are, a lot of people know about like the top five, top 10 players, like top 10 teams, I should say. Like, everyone knows like who Florida is, Arizona, Duke, Villanova, Syracuse, Kansas, Wisconsin, San Diego State. And there's more. Everyone knows like the top schools, like Michigan, UCLA, North Carolina, but no one knows like these small schools, like Wichita State, for example. They finished their season undefeated. They're 31-0. Only team undefeated right now in the nation. And they're ranked number two, and they're probably going to get a number one seed in the tournament, in the March, in the NCAA tournament coming in a couple weeks. So, and the one things that, you know, no one knows about them, no one's heard of them. If they weren't 31-0 right now, no one would think about them. No one probably knows where their school is located in the country. So there's a lot of good schools out here, like small schools around the nation that can win and come out of nowhere and win a national championship. I was like, last year, you know, for example, Florida Gulf Coast, but also like a couple years before Florida Gulf Coast, there was Butler. Butler came out of nowhere and made it to the Final Four, and they made it to the national championship game 2 years back to back. They made it to the national championship game. They lost both, but they made it, and no one knew who Butler was. Also, another small school that went to the Final Four was VCU. They came out of nowhere. Now everyone knows who they are. So these, there's a lot of, there's always one or two small schools that no one knows about that comes out and plays good. And also, I got here like four or five teams that right now, if that none of these top teams want to play. There's, for example, there's one team, St. Joseph's of the Atlantic 10 Conference. They're 21-7, 11-3 in their conference, according to ESPN, because ESPN is this bracketology thing where they have a guy, an analyst, and he predicts how the national champ of the how the NCAA tournament bracket's going to look like. So that's his job. So he has St. Joseph's as a 10 seed right now in the East bracket. And a lot of people don't watch St. Joseph's because they don't get a lot of national coverage like these top schools that do. But they're peaking at the right time right now. They've won 6 of their last 8 games. So they're a team to watch. Because there's always, because they're a 10 seed, according to Joe Lenardi of ESPN, they're a 10 seed. That's where he has them ranked or has them placed right now. They could be higher, they could be lower. It doesn't know. They're still, they still got the conference tournaments coming around. So we don't know. They might not even be it because they're on the bubble. Technically, they're on the bubble. And being on the bubble means you're not in, but you're not out. You're just, you're there in the middle. So if it's all on you. So if you decide to like lose games and decide not to perform well here at the end of the late season, you get eliminated early in the conference tournament, you're not going to be in the national tournament, which matters, because that's the tournament you want to be in. You don't want to be in the NIT or these other tournaments that no one really cares about. But yeah, so St. Joseph's is, they're hot right now. They've won 6 of the last 8. So they can be a team that, they're a team that no one wants to play because they're hot right now. And in every sport, it doesn't matter what it is. Once you, if you're hot in, when postseason play comes around, then you're a team that a lot of people fear. They might not say it in public, but in between all of them, they fear you because you're hot and you're just on a roll and no one wants to play you. Another team that another bubble team that no one wants to play right now is Florida State of the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference. They're 18-11, 9-8 in conference. They struggled in the beginning of the season, but they've brought it on. They've been playing well lately, and they're a good defensive team. They've held their last 5 opponents to below 70 points. So defense wins championships. That's the saying. So if they sneak into the NCAA tournament, they'll be a team that will lock you down and will have you play their game, not the other way around. So they're a team people should fear. And also, they're a battle-tested team. They've played, you know, they're in the ACC, so they play Duke, North Carolina. So, 8, Virginia, that's another team no one wants to play. Virginia's hot right now, but I'll talk about them coming up. But, yeah, so Florida State, they played in the ACC, and the ACC is the best conference in college basketball, no doubt. Best college conference in the NCAA. And they also have, they played tough teams out of conference schedule. Florida State's played tough teams and they've fared well against them. They might not have won all of the games, but they've played good games where they could have won or had they put themselves in a position to win. So Florida State again is another team that you should be watching now. And And I guarantee the other, like Kansas or the Wichita States or Florida and Arizona, they're watching Florida State because, you know, they're a team they don't want to play. They want to have an easy ride to the national championship game. So I'm positive they are watching them. Also, Baylor is another team that teams don't want to play. Baylor's 20-10. They don't have a good conference record. They're 8-9, but they've had great success against top teams. For example, they beat in Kentucky earlier in the year. They beat Oklahoma earlier in the year, and they also beat Iowa State on Tuesday. And Iowa State is ranked 16 in the nation. So Baylor's a good team to watch, and they also have a balanced attack. They can shoot the ball, they can throw it inside to the post and play through the post, and they can also, their guards can get to the basket. They can blow by their defenders and get by the defenders and get to the basket. So Baylor's a very, very good team that, you know, you guys should be watching, because it's very exciting. I'm very excited for the NCAA tournament. I really am, to watch all these small schools or schools that no one wants to play. Like, I would rather see, like, one of these teams win, because I like the underdog to win. So I'm very excited. It's very, very exciting. Another team also that is a bubble team that the top teams don't want to play is Providence. Providence is from, they play in the Big East. They are 20-10, and they have a 10-7 record in their conference. They're a team, I don't see them getting into the tournament, but if they do, teams should watch out for their point guard, Bryce Cotton. He struggled badly in the first half of February, but the Providence has struggled badly in the first half of February, but they've righted the ship and they've returned to the bubble conversation with 3 straight wins in the past 2 weeks. During this stretch, Cotton has averaged 26 points, and he's shooting 49% shooting with 6 assists and 4, and he's averaging 6 assists and 4.6 rebounds. So he's a good player, but I don't see him getting in, because you can't just rely on one guy. The whole team's got to do it. But if they do get in, Bryce Cotton's a player to watch. He can be, you know, if they, the he'll be they'll t- he'll be a lot of the talk in the tournament if they do get in. Another team that should be watched and teams should be worried about is Southern Mississippi of the Conference USA. They're 25-5 and 12-3 in the conference. They're the conference leader right now, but you know, the presence of Louisiana Tech, who's also from the Conference USA, and is their main threat for the top seed in the conference. They're going to be a bubble team, because you know Louisiana Tech might overtake them. So I don't think both teams get in. So that's why it's whoever wins the conference is definitely getting in. But second place, I don't think they'll get in, because there's a lot of good other teams in other conferences. So. But Southern Miss, they are good. You know, they are also a balanced attack. They can shoot. They can also get to the basket and play through the post. So it's very, very, we'll see what happens. It's very interesting on what's happening. And lastly, I want to talk about is Virginia. Virginia has been on fire the last couple of weeks. They've been on fire. They are the hottest team in college basketball right now. They're looking at they're projected, according to Joe Lenardi and his bracketology, they're a 2 seed right now. They're a 2 seed, but if they do play, if they have a deep run in the ACC tournament, they can grab a 1 seed and overtake probably Kansas or maybe Florida or Arizona for a 1 seed. So it's going to be interesting in what's happening is what's happening in college basketball. And also talking about hot teams right now, our own Dominican University, they're down in San Diego right now. They're going to play in the conference tournament. They play Friday, tomorrow. So they're hot right now. They won their last 10 games. And if they win their tournament, they'll probably, you know, sneak into the Division II NCAA tournament. So it's very interesting. March Madness is right here. It is here, and it's starting. It's the beginning of March Madness, and it's very, very exciting. So, you know, watch out. You know, just check in once in a while in college basketball, because it's about to get very, very crazy, and it's about to be some good basketball played in the later coming of March. So I hope you watch it. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu, and we will be back after this break. Welcome back to Ball is Life, where everything and anything is basketball. today we my last segment I will be talking about the NBA, my predictions of the NBA award races. So that's including, you know, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and also, of course, the MVP, Most Valuable Player Award. So let's get started with the Rookie of the Year, where the favorite since the beginning has been Michael Carter Williams, the point guard of the Philadelphia 76ers. He's been, in the first half of the season, he was lighting it up. He was dominating. He came out of nowhere because everyone expected, you know, Victor Oladipo to you know, be the rookie of the year. Victor Oladipo was the favorite. But Michael Carter Williams, he's a good player, but no one expected him to be at the top of the rookie of the year. But he was put in a good position because the 76ers are not that good. And, you know, they put him in a starting role, the point guard position, because they traded Drew Holiday during the offseason. So they drafted Michael Carter Williams, and he hasn't let them down because he's shown that he's a great player, and that he'll be a good player for a long time in the NBA. So he's the favorite right now. But I hate to say it, but because the 76ers are not a contending team, they've been, you know, trading some of their valuable assets to other teams for future assets, for draft picks and, you know, cap relief. So they really don't have anyone. So lately, Michael Carter Williams, he's been taking some terrible shots, and he's been, since the All-Star break, his percentages have gone down. He's shooting 38% from the field, 12.5% beyond the three-point line, and 68.1% at the free throw line, which is not that good. If you're putting up those numbers, you're not going to win Rookie of the Year. But because he had such a great stretch in the beginning, in the first half of the season, and he had a massive lead for Rookie of the Year, that's not going to hurt him as much. It's not going to hurt him as much as it should if he didn't have a good first half of the season. Because, you know, Victor Oladipo, the Magic, he's still, you know, trying to get that. He's still there contending for the Rookie of the Year. And also, it's a long shot, but Trey Burke of the Utah Jazz also has a chance of winning it. So those are the top three, but it goes Michael Carter Williams right now in the lead, Victor Oladipo of the Magic in second, and then Trey Burke in third right now. So those are the top three, but expect Michael Carter-Williams to win Rookie of the Year because he had such a great first half of the season that I think it's hard to overcome. It's hard to overcome right now and hard to overcome Michael Carter-Williams in winning the Rookie of the Year. So expect Michael Carter-Williams to win Rookie of the Year. Next award that I will be talking about is the Most Improved Player, and this, you know, goes to the player that's improved the most since the last season. And it's been clear this guy should have been an All-Star. He's the star of the Phoenix Suns, or he's probably the best player on the Phoenix Suns right now, and that's Goran Dragic. He's their point guard for the Phoenix Suns. He's one of the main reasons why the Phoenix Suns are a surprise team and have been and are contending and competing for a playoff spot in the Western Conference. But Goran Dragic, he should have been an All-Star. He's one of the All-Star snubs. Like, a lot of people were kind of angry and disappointed that he did not get an All-Star spot because he's been balling. He's been balling. Like, he has been the most improved player because he's been killing it. He's averaging 20 points and 10 assists. And he's Like I said, he's the main reason why the Phoenix Suns are where they are and contending for a playoff spot. But expect him. He's in the lead right now. But also you got Lance Stephenson of the Indiana Pacers, who's also, you know, the first. He's, if you don't know his story, it's kind of incredible because his first 3 years, Lance Stephenson wasn't. He was on the bench of the Pacers. He didn't get a lot of playing time. And then last year, he got his number called, and he just ran with it. He proved what he can do, and he's a starter now. And that's one of the amazing reasons why the Pacers traded Danny Granger, because they didn't need Danny Granger no more because they had Lance Stephenson and Paul George. And also, right now, contending for the Most Improved Player of the Year award is Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans. He was a rookie last year. Should have been an all-star also. And he's improved a lot because he was a rookie last year. And then this year, he's a whole different player. He's the leader of the Pelicans. He's emerged as a leader, and he's improved as a player. He can always shoot from 10 to 15 feet, but wasn't very consistent. But this year has been very consistent, and he's also a great defensive player. So he's averaging 20 points and 10 rebounds. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's a very tight race because all these three players in Goran Dragic, Lance Stephenson, and Anthony Davis all deserve the Most Improved Player award, but they don't have three, they have one. But right now, Goran Dragic is in the lead because his team wasn't expected to contend this year and wasn't expected to make the playoffs this year, but he's led them through it because he's been the leader. And they also have the Suns also have Eric Bledsoe, but Eric Bledsoe has been hurt for most of the year, so Goran Dragic has put him on his back, and he's led the Suns to a very impressive record. So, and in a very impressive season. So right now, Goran Dragic is in the lead, but don't be surprised if Lance Stephenson or Anthony Davis are named Most Improved Player. So, but right now, it's Goran Dragic as the Most Improved Player. Right now, he is in the lead. Next award is the Sixth Man of the Year award. And this one was already early in the year. It was already kind of... there was no race because Jamal Crawford of the Los Angeles Clippers was coming off the bench, and he would have won it, no doubt. No one would have objected to that. But because JJ Redick got hurt, they had to throw Jamal Crawford into the starting lineup. So he's not a sixth man in the world. So he gets disqualified from this category. So right now it's in the lead. It's Manu Ginobili. Manu Ginobili, he plays for the San Antonio Spurs. He doesn't start, but he's one of the veterans, and he's one of the great players of this past decade. So he's a veteran, and he knows what to do, and he's gotten it done. He's been there in the finals with the Spurs. He's won four titles with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. So he's in the lead, and then... He's in the lead by a landslide. He's probably going to win this Sixth Man of the Year award. There's really no one coming close to him. There is maybe Markieff Morris of the Phoenix Suns, and maybe Taj Gibson of the Chicago Bulls, but I don't see anyone coming close and anyone winning this award. So Manu Ginobili will be the Sixth Man of the Year by the end of the year. So that's that. The Defensive Player of the Year award now. This is also... It's close, but I don't think... There's not enough for... It's going to be Roy Hibbert. He will be the Defensive Player of the Year. He's the center of the Indiana Pacers. He's 7'2". He's got a wingspan of... Who knows, but... He's going to be the Defensive Player of the Year. Because he holds down the fort in the middle for the Pacers when Paul George's guy gets by him, or George's Hill guy gets by him, or Lance Stephenson's guy gets by him. They have to run into Roy Hibbert, and Roy Hibbert, this is why he's going to be the defensive player of the year. He's such a smart defensive player because he knows that he already has the length on these smaller guards and also these other centers that he keeps his hands straight up and he doesn't jump or he doesn't bring his arms down where the referees can call a foul. So he's very smart about that. So he just keeps his hands straight up and lets the opponent go into his body. So he's very smart. But if it's not Roy Hibbert, then maybe it can be Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls or maybe Serge Ibaka of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Both of these guys are they're great defensive players. Joakim Noah, he had a triple-double against New York a couple nights ago, and then Serge Ibaka is one of the best shot-blocking players in the league, or the best. But expect Roy Hibbert to win Defensive Player of the Year because he's the smartest defensive player in the league. So expect Roy Hibbert to win it. Next award is the Coach of the Year award. And this one, it's got to go to Tom Thibodeau of the Chicago Bulls. He's had a roller coaster of a season. Last year he didn't have Derrick Rose, and he still managed a way to get his team into the playoffs. He kept them focused and got them into the playoffs. They actually won a playoff series against the Brooklyn Nets. And then this year he got Derrick Rose back, so you know he thought, oh, you know, enough of the drama, no controversy. And then what happens? Derrick Rose gets hurt again. Derrick Rose is lost for the season, and then he's got to, you know, keep his team focused. The Bulls traded one of their second best player, Lou Aldang, to Cleveland. So he lost two of his best players. And he still kept his team focused and he's got them playing good. And they are now sitting in the middle of the Eastern Conference. They got that 4-5 spot. So he still kept his team focused and they're still playing very well. And they are a team to watch in the playoffs coming in a couple months. But if not Tom Thibodeau, then you got Jeff Hornacek of the Phoenix Suns. The Suns came out of nowhere. No one expected them to be where they are at now. So you got to give him a lot of credit. And also, you always got to put this guy in the conversation. Is Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. He made it to the finals last year. And everyone always, you know, puts the Spurs down saying, oh, they're not going to be there. They're too old. They've had their run. That's it. They should just call it quits. But at the end, they're always there. So, you know, you got to give Greg Popovich his credit. But expect Tom Thibodeau to win because he's been through a lot. He's lost his two best players. And he still has his team playing as a playoff caliber team. So expect him to win. And then, of course, last but not least, the Most Valuable Player Award. And it's coming down to two guys, Kevin Durant and LeBron James. And distant third is Blake Griffin, but it's between two guys, and that's Kevin Durant and LeBron James. And right now, to me, Kevin Durant's got the slight edge because he's got the slight edge because they both been balling, but Kevin Durant, you know, he's the leader of Oklahoma City, and you know, he didn't have Russell Westbrook for most of this season. Westbrook came back, so let's see how that changes, but I don't think it changes because Durant, he is the guy in OKC and for the Thunder, and he's led them to the number one team in the Western Conference. So it's going to be close and it's going to be tight, but I expect Kevin Durant to win because, you know, I think he deserves it more this year. LeBron, Don't get me wrong, LeBron's a great player and he's been playing well this season. Like I said, like earlier in our show, he had that 61-point game. But Kevin Durant wants it more, and you can see it on when he plays. So expect Kevin Durant to win the MVP, but it's going to be close. But I think Kevin Durant will win, and then LeBron is a very close second. So those are my picks for the NBA award races. I'd like to thank everyone again for listening to my show, Ball is Life. Thank you for joining me. Next week, we have spring break, so my show will not be on next week. So I will see you not next week, but the week after. So 2 weeks from now, I hope you come and join and listen to me again. And I'd like to thank you again for listening. This is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Ball is Life with DJ J Smooth, and I will see you 2 weeks from now. Thank you again.